This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the sports betting network. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. Week 17 tonight in Tennessee. Who's playing for Tennessee? It's a MASH unit. It's all the way up to 13.5 with Dallas on the road. Plenty more on that to come. We're about to debut a brand new game. Elliot Bauman, our producer's brainchild. No way, no doubt. Before we do, maybe give the Denver Broncos fans a little hope here, Michael. Before we get into the game, quickly wanted to mention you were complimentary about what the owner of the Broncos had to say about the changes happening in Denver.
I mean, I haven't heard an owner talk like that. I've never heard an owner talk about comparing the head coaching position to a CEO, to needing leadership, needing accountability, not so much as the X's and O's as finding somebody who can command the organization and set it up. I think it was fascinating. I applaud him. I think he's going to have a hard time finding candidates because the league has been conditioned and forced to go down your play caller role. Look at your sheet. Don't worry about the game. We got other people to do that for you. It's going to be challenging to find. It'll be interesting to see who's on his list. But I think, it to me, NFL jobs are not about who your quarterbacks are. It's about who's your owner. And when you get a really good owner who understands how to build something that relates to culture and alignment, you got a chance.
Okay, let's do it. So, of course, one of Michael's catchphrases is no doubt, no doubt. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a statement from one of the biggest news items across the NFL. If you disagree, you'll say, no way. If you agree with it, no doubt. Russell Wilson will be the starting quarterback for a playoff team under a new head coach in Denver. No way, no doubt.
No way. This isn't fixable. This isn't fixable. I mean, it's fixable to kind of position, but just go back and watch the game. I mean, one of the things that drives you crazy is when a quarterback starts to move around in the pocket when there's protection. I mean, Carr did this a lot. Why just stay in the pocket, move up in the pocket, make a throw? You know, Wilson, stay in the pocket, move up, make a throw. All of a sudden he's going right, going left. Oh, no, I got nowhere to go. I get sacked. So to me, those are things that are hard to correct. And because he's lost athleticism, there's no ignition you're going to turn. Plus the fact that he has no relationship with his teammates. He's so distant from them. I think what Shannon Sharpe said on his show is true. He treats himself like a diva, and the team resents him. That 51-point whooping by the Rams was as much as him coming back in the lineup and nobody really wanting him back in the lineup. No chance on a playoff team.
Okay, George Payton, said, I don't think we made a coaching hire based on Russ. That's not what this is all about. That's not why we're getting a new coach to turn Russ around. It's about the entire organization. It's about the entire football team. It's not just one player. It's not whether Russ is fixable or not. We do believe he is. We do. So George Payton obviously watching a different game than the rest of us.
Can I add to that? There's somebody, and I won't mention his name, that said, you know, you just have to find an offense for Russ that come back and give him the loose plays. Like, I love when people say that. You know, people say, well, they got to put him in the right offense. Let answer the question, what is the right offense? You want to run the sprint offense? Do you want to run the veer? I mean, like, that's a ridiculous statement. What offense is predicated on loose plays? What offense is predicated on him running around? That's not an offense. That's just a series of plays. He can't run the offense because he don't want to get hit. That's fact. You don't want to get. We said it this summer. 183 yards rushing was the lowest in his career last year. It wasn't Seattle's lack of. How many years have we heard we got to get Russ in the right offense? How many years have we heard that? Right.
Okay.
And every time, and it never changes. So it's got to be Russ.
We start off with one. No way. No way. No doubt. Remember, you disagree. No way. You agree. No doubt. Tua shouldn't start another game this season for the Dolphins. No way, or do you agree? No doubt.
No doubt, I agree. I think he should take some time. I mean, look, they've got a good team, and this concussion thing has got long legs to it. Luke Kuechly, you know, Jarvis Best. I mean, you've got to be careful here. I'm not trying to say he's injury prone. I'm not. I'm not suggesting that he's concussion prone. What I'm suggesting is he needs some time. and he needs time to clear his head, get himself going, because the last thing you want to do is put him in a game against a good team like the Jets and have him get hit again, and now he has another you don't want to do that. You want to take the year, and if we make the playoffs, maybe by, you know, by some miracle or we win, we can beat the next two teams with what we have, you know, and then next year evaluate it. I think there's no doubt he should not play.
Nice. That's a great tag at the end there, Michael Lombardi. I'm going to do this one a little bit differently. Thank you. Derek Carr will be the starting quarterback for the Raiders in 2023. I'm going to switch this up a little bit. Derek Carr will be the starting quarterback for the Raiders in 2023. No way or no doubt?
No way. They've moved on. I mean, they made that decision. If they thought he was going to be the starting quarterback in 2023, they wouldn't mind guaranteeing the $40 million. The contract, the way they set the contract up was basically, we don't know you, you don't know us. So why don't we work together to figure out, if you play well, we'll have you, and here's a contract that's fair. And if you don't play well, you're going to become a free agent, and here's your freedom. And so once this decision was made that, look, we're done. We're moving on. And I think people have to understand this a little bit too on the car. I don't think this was all this administration's decision. Remember, there was talking of replacing Carr with Brady. Mm-hmm. Like, this has been going on. There's an element within the Raider organizational structure, whether they're still there or not, that have felt that they can't get to where they need to go with Carr. Like, this wasn't just, oh, Josh came in and said, I don't want Carr. Like, no. Josh, when he went to Denver, made that mistakes and got rid of Cutler. I think this is a different McDaniels. He came in, he said, okay, I've had this conversation with him, so I'm speaking from authority. Josh, you go in there, you got to see what you got. Once you figure out what you have, then you make your move. But since you have a long-term contract, you've got time to sort through this. Never get rid of a player until you know who he is. And I think that's what they did here. So when they made this decision in 2023, there's no way he's the quarterback there next year. This will not be a Garoppolo, oh, we're getting rid of you, come back. No, I don't think that's the case. No doubt.
Well done.
No way, Carson, I'm sorry.
No, well done. Carson Wentz gives the Washington Commanders a better chance to make a playoff push than Taylor Heinicke. No way or no doubt?
This is somewhere in between. I'm going to go no doubt. I think they have to take the same approach with Wentz that they took with Heinicke. Limit what he does. Try to run the ball. Try to use his legs a little bit more. Try to get him involved in the run game a little bit. And then limit some of the bad plays. Get him to throw the ball. He gives them a better chance to win this week, next week, and then if they get in the playoffs. They need his arm, they need his power, they need his athleticism. Heinicke can only get you so far.
So that one, you debated.
No doubt.
Wentz, Heinicke, no doubt there was a debate, but you went
with
no doubt.
I don't love either guy, you know, and I was a Wentz fan for a long time. I loved Wentz. I thought he was really good, but Wentz hasn't been the same player. Let's be clear.
Yeah, the injuries have certainly debilitated him. Back to Derek Carr. Have you thought about what might be a good fit for him moving forward if it's no way with the Raiders?
I love that. I said it on my podcast. You know, some genius with an eraser said, well, he's never played for a top 20 defense. All the defenses have been bad. Did Marino ever play for a top 10 defense? I mean, I'm asking. Like, seriously, he made the playoffs. He's in the Hall of Fame. Like, winning takes care. When you've only had two winning seasons as a starting quarterback in the NFL and you're 63-79-1, I mean, there's some issues here. You're not making enough plays. That's the reality. It's not about the offense. Like, I think Carr effectively, maybe he's better with Gruden's offense. He threw it down the field more than he is with McDaniels. But maybe McDaniels' offense is too burrsome and puts too much on the quarterback. I don't know. But I don't think this is about offensive design, Patrick.
Okay, well, I'll just read a tweet for you, and you can react to it. This is from, let's see, Dan Orlovsky. The Raiders have the 32nd ranked defense since Carr entered the league, has never played on a team that ranked better than 20th on defense. Someone next year is going to get a top 12 player at the position. Man!
I mean, he doesn't watch tape. He just clearly, he's one of these guys that puts video up there to make it look like he's watching tape. But there's a difference between watching tape and studying tape. And there it is right there. I'll leave it right at that. He watches tape. He doesn't study tape.
I like to read people's tweets.
Bella can watch tape.
Bella's a dog.
I'm aware of that. Smart one, too. She can watch tape.
That's a tremendous breed.
She'll snore. She watches every single game of a Sunday. Snores like crazy. She watching, but you know she don't study tape. There's a difference. Yeah. This is what we have with Twitter today. We have a lot of people that watch tape. They don't study tape because they don't know what they're studying. They don't understand it. This guy played quarterback in the NFL. You're telling me the throw to Mike Tomlin out of bounds is a top 12 quarterback throw when he's got an in-cut wide open? You're telling me the throw to Davante Adams on the 3-yard line for a first down and he throws a pop fly? Come on. You're not studying the tape. You're just watching it.
No, he's not just telling you that. He's telling you that emphatically. Someone next year is going to get
but
a
he
top
said
12
that about,
player
I mean,
at the position.
Remember
Man.
When he attacked Justin – he said Justin Fields is going to lead teams to Super Bowls. I mean, I don't – this guy just says stuff. Like, I think what he should do is, okay, he should go to Indianapolis with Jeff Saturday in the park, and those two should form an allegiance together, bring Carr in there, and let's watch them work it out.
Top 12 feels arbitrary. I don't know. Just throwing a number.
I had him in my top 10 last year with the start of the season. His numbers were really good. But being a top 12, does that mean you're going to win a Super Bowl? What about winning? Does that matter at all to him?
No way. No doubt. Tremendous debut. Good job, Elliot. When we come back, professional handicapper Mike Somich joins us. He's got plenty of plays today. That's next.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, BetMGM is the sponsor of the Lombardi Line. So, of course, we're presented by BetMGM. It's the king of sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com or download the newly reconfigured app right now. 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue, 21 years or older. So, I mentioned at the beginning of the show, of course, Michael Lombardi, the Lombardi Line. I'm Patrick Maher. We're going to bring in professional handicapper, RacingDudes.com, Mike Somich. I mentioned at the beginning of the show that Thomas Gable, I'm the gatekeeper for his picks that VSiN pros get. Mike Somich has agreed when he has a play that stands out that he will then text those to me. I text them over to Elliot or Bill AD. They get added to the sheet for VSiN pros. So just a note, remember, I'm the gatekeeper for some of these very sharp guys as we say hi to Mike Somich. And we'll start here. Of course, we're up the 13.5 with Tennessee just trying to survive to get to week 18 at Jacksonville. You like to start, Somich, Dak over a touchdown and a half tonight.
Yeah, this is a wild game. I can't remember a similar game in all my NFL watching, at least, where you have one team, Tennessee, where this game means absolutely nothing to them. Their whole season's riding next week on whether or not they can win the division. And you got Dallas, who needs this game. It's going to be interesting to see what type of game plan we see from Tennessee. I would expect it to be extremely vanilla. They're banged up in the secondary. They've got a rookie quarterback out there on a short week. I don't think we're going to see too much from them, but this 13.5 number is massive for a Thursday night game. So I don't want to lay the 13.5, but Dak Prescott getting over 1.5 passing touchdowns looks pretty good to me. You should shop around for it. You can get anywhere from -115 to -145 on it. But when you look at Dak, he's only missed this 3 of the 10 games he's played. 2 of those 3 games were his first 2 games of the season. One of them was against Tampa Bay in the opener when he had no offensive line. And the second one was his first game back from injury. So he's really been rolling. 7 of the last 8, he has gone over this prop. I think this should be closer to -200. So if I can get anywhere between 115, 145, I'm going to take a stab here with Dak over 1.5 passing touchdowns.
I like it. I love it. I think he'll come out in the first half. And I think this is – because it's a preseason game for Tennessee and Josh Dobbs is going to start. And, you know, I think if you're McCarthy, look, let's just get this thing. Let's put this thing away early. And the weakness of Tennessee has been their secondary. When they can't get pressure, when they can't rush 4 and get there, their secondary gets exposed. And without Jeffrey Simmons, without Bud Dupree, it's going to be hard. This Cowboy offensive line, I thought, was starting to play good against Philadelphia. I know Sweat got the interception off the bootleg, but – I think they'll throw the ball effectively, at least in the first half tonight, and then I think they back off.
I 100% agree with you. I actually looked at a lot of the first half props and bets as well. You can get -3 first quarter Dallas, which I like a little bit. There's one other prop that you can find in the game props where Dallas has to win the first quarter and the first half, and that's currently sitting at -110. I think that's worth throwing a couple shekels on as well. If you look, I think they're -280 in the first quarter, -340 in the first half, somewhere around there. So if you can get -110 for winning the first quarter and the first half, I think that's a pretty solid play with Dallas's side as well. Because I agree with you, Michael. I think they jump out of the gate here and then they absolutely shut it down in the second half.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Michael liked the laying 3 in the first quarter, and Will Hill liked laying 7.5 in the first half. Just a note, Samich went 3-0 last week on his picks. Also, he brought up 9 tease opportunities that we highlighted on a graphic, and all 9 of those tease opportunities, Samich went 9-0, so tremendous job there.
Yeah, heck of a week for those teasers. I wish we could take advantage of it again this week, but the key to last week, when we discussed it on the show, was the lines and the totals specifically. You had a bunch of games totaled between 32 and 40 points. When you have those lower totals, teasers become so much more valuable because you can move a line by 6 points, which in a lot of cases is 17% of the total. If you can move a line that much, you have a much better shot of hitting those long teaser legs. And last week was a wonderful example. I ended up going 9-0 on those teaser legs. So if you had those in round robins, if you had a bigger teasers going, it was a very profitable teaser week. Not quite as good this week. There's a couple games on the board that you could tease. I like Pittsburgh teasing them up from 2.5 to 8.5. But I'd rather just bet them +3 if I can get them +3 at some point during the week. So I haven't started any teasers with them. The only other game that's interesting to me would be teasing up Cleveland from 2 to 8, the total sitting at 40.5 there. But I don't really trust Deshaun Watson right now. I went back and watched the games that he's started, and he just looks off. And it, you know, it's been 1.5 years since he played, so it's not that surprising. But it's tough to trust them in a teaser leg, especially when you have Carson Wentz coming back in, who not the best quarterback in the world, but creates a high variance style game. He will push the ball down the field, which could create some more points for the Commanders.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. I don't like the Browns. I mean, Watson has really struggled. But I think your point's really well taken, and I think it's a betting tip here. What you're doing is marrying the teaser number up to the total. And so, like we talk about, like for example, I think tonight it's what? The Cowboys are 14-point favorites, you know, and the total's 40. I mean, that's a kind of a hard, right? So Now Josh Dobbs is starting a lot of plays, so they might not score at all. But I think that's where you have to really pay attention to the number and the total. That's where I get my variance every week from.
Exactly. You're looking to take advantage. You want those 6 points to be as valuable as possible. And the lower the total is, the more valuable those points become. And so that's when you can really be aggressive with those teasers. Last week of the season's going to be tough. You don't really want to play games where you're not sure who's going to be in and the motivation from some teams. So this might be one that you want to put in your pocket and save till next year. But we have those big weather weeks and those totals drop. It's a great week to play teasers.
Okay, let's go Jets at Seattle. Mike White under center for Gangrene here. You're going to lay the 2 with the Jets.
I'm not surprised this one came up as one of my better plays of the week. I had this one sitting around 3.5 for the Jets. The difference between Zach Wilson and Mike White, to me, we highlighted it the last 2 weeks. I had Jacksonville last week on Thursday. I just think that there's a massive gap between the two. 3.5, 4.5 points, and the market doesn't agree. They had it about 0.5 point last week. Moved up to about 1.5, it looks like, but that's still not enough of an adjustment in my mind. On top of that, this is just a Seattle team that's going in the wrong direction. We talked about their defense last week and how they've got a bunch of rookies that are playing that seem to have hit that rookie wall. They can't stop the run. The Jets should be able to move the ball on the ground. A little concerned about the offensive line, but I trust Mike White to be able to get the job done here. We'll see if Seattle's going to be able to score, but this is one of those spots where I just think the line's wrong because the adjustment's not big enough for the movement from Zach Wilson over to Mike White.
Yeah, I mean, the Mike White carries it, you know, and Seattle hasn't played well at home. Everybody, first thing they say, well, Seattle's playing at home. But they haven't won since they beat the Giants there. And they were playing well when they beat the Giants. And the next week they went down to Arizona, won that game. And since they went to Germany, they have not played well.
And unfortunately, Geno Smith has really struggled as well. He was one of the better stories earlier in the season, but he's really regressed back toward the mean when you look at both QBR and PFF rankings. And so without him playing out of his mind, it means you have to rely on a running game. And I'm just not sure they're going to be able to move the ball on the ground against this Jets defense, which is probably the best unit of the four in the game. So I think it's a pretty good spot to lay anything less than three. I'm excited to lay the 1.5-2 here.
Okay, next one, and then I'm going to save the last one for the subscribers, so we'll put it on the sheet right after the segment here. But I'll give you one more free play from Samich. You like Arizona catching. You can catch 3.5 right now at Atlanta.
Yeah, jump on that 3.5 if you can get it. When I was looking at this line, it was 3 -120 in most places. This is just a spot where I feel like I'm getting the better quarterback in Colt McCoy. I get the better weapons in both Connor and Nuke Hopkins on the outside. And I just have not been impressed at all with Ritter so far from this Atlanta side. They haven't scored 20 points in 6 of their last 7 games. So if I'm catching 3.5, 4 points, and I don't think Atlanta's going over 20, that's a lot of points to be able to catch here. I think Arizona's going to have some success moving the ball through the air against this Atlanta defense. If Arizona is able to put up 17 points, I think this is a pretty safe one to play on. I also like how Arizona's D has been playing. They've gotten healthier as the season's gone along. And as they've gotten healthier and healthier, they've become a better stop unit as well. So I feel like I have the better team on both sides of the ball, and I'm catching points here. So I'm going to go ahead and take Arizona plus the 3.
Yeah, good call. I mean, you know, everybody's going to be down on Arizona. I mean, the fact that Arizona went to overtime against the Bucs with right. Trace McSorley at quarterback is really somewhat remarkable, right? And the only thing that scares me about this game is if we go back to Trace McSorley again. But, I mean, this Atlanta defense is really not good. And you can run the ball in Atlanta, and I'm not sure that the Cardinals have flat-out quit on their coach yet. Everybody thinks they have, but they didn't play like they quit last week.
No, they played decent, and I, you know, the quarterback took a step forward as well here in his second start, but he throws a lot of passes that just look like they're ready to be intercepted. At Cincinnati, he was able to use his legs to move the ball. He hasn't been able to do that as much here in the NFL so far. You're getting a lot of 8 and 9 man boxes against this Atlanta front, which makes it harder for Patterson to run as well. Just a tough spot for this Atlanta team coming home here. And you said it, their defense is lousy. They had a stretch there where they were playing really good ball. And when they didn't have this offense on tape, defenses didn't know how to react to it. Now we've got a lot of tape on this Atlanta offense, and their defense is not playing well. Combine those two with the fact that, again, Colt McCoy, as long as he plays, again, I'm scared about McSorley as well, but if we get Colt McCoy, we've got the better quarterback, we've got the better offensive weapons, we've got the better defense, and we're catching the points. Sign me up for some Arizona here.
Okay, Samich hasn't missed in a long time on the show. He's got to play on the Vikings at Green Bay, which will be available for VSiN pros over at VSiN.com/subscribe. RacingDudes.com, Mike Samich. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. Mike. Have a good new year.
Great information from our buddy Mike Samich. When we come back, just a great 45 minutes, Mr. Lombardi. We've got Mike Palm and Palm's Pressing 3. That's next. It's Lombardi Line.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, bull season don't stop, and we've got the VSiN Bull Betting Guide, daily best bets on every game, written previews for every bull game, bull betting tips, including Steve Mackinnon's 7 important bull motivational matchups. So again, it's all there. Make sure you check this out before you make a bet on these wildly volatile bull games. VSiN.com/subscribe. Become a pro. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Michael Lombardi there. I'm Patrick Maher. Of course, the big news, well, Josh Dobbs, as Michael told you yesterday, is going to be the starter tonight for the Titans over the rookie Malik Willis. We're up to 13.5 with Dallas laying it. We'll get to that in just a bit as we welcome in Mike Palm, of course, bon vivant there, Circa, and VSiN host, insider. Always great to see Palm. Palm's Pressing 3 coming up in about 11 minutes, but before we get there, just an absolute, it's taken over everything. The Circa Survivor Contest has been such a story, Mike Palm.
I said that last, when it was declared that Tannehill wasn't playing, that last weekend with the two windows, the Christmas Eve and the Christmas window, would be the greatest Survivor weekend of all time. And I think it exceeded that statement. And I know Bill A.D., our marketing guru and operations head thought, you know, there was a lot of hyperbole in my statement, but I absolutely believed it because everyone was left with 3-point favorites to choose from. And there were no clear choices. I mean, you had a stomach Brady on the road and getting down and coming back again to survive through Sunday as well. So now we sit with 3. We went from 14 on Thursday night. One was eliminated with the Jets on Thursday night against Jacksonville. A lot of people must be listening to Lombardi Line because 5 went out with Michael Lombardi's Lions. They were the most popular choice. And of course, you know, they weren't physically prepared, mentally prepared, emotionally prepared. 3 went out with the Titans. The Tennessee Valley Authority didn't take them out, but Malik Willis did. 1 out with the Browns. That left us with 4. You know, 3 of them, Vikings in the 61-yard field goal, Mad Dog was the only one in the house going into the Christmas Eve game. If the Raiders win that game, it's over, and that gentleman would have swept the $6.1 million. But as we know, Derek Carr was Derek Carr, and they marched into Sunday with 4. Tua gets a concussion, and a guy, you know, basically 16 hours later went from $6.1 million to being out of it. The other 3 advanced, 2 of them with Tom Brady, and then 1 pretty easily on Monday night with the Chargers. So we're sit with 3. Michael, I know you asked about who do they have left. All 3 of them have the Lions left this weekend. Brown A and the enemy with N have the Giants as well. All 3 have Jacksonville. This entry, Brown A, is the only one that still has the Chargers. And I think it's interesting because the Chargers play the Rams, but also next weekend when there's a lot of uncertainty, they're at the Broncos. So does he use them this week? Does he save them for next week? There's some interesting things. Could be they all end up on the Lions. It could be all end up on the Lions, or if one of them uses the Giants or 2 of them, then it'll be split. But I don't think there's going to be a chop. There's been some money being wired in for hedging, or as I like to say it, monetizing their position. So here we come right down to the wire with 2 weeks to go.
Yeah, I mean, that Lions one, look, I watched the Lions-Carolina game. The Lions played nickel the whole game. Even when the Panthers were running the ball, they just stayed in their nickel and they got ran out of town. And if we go back to the last time the Lions played in Chicago, their season was on the line there. And Goff throws that interception inside, and they got an illegal penalty, contact or defensive holding, whatever you will. And it comes back, and he throws a touch, and they come back from what, the 31-17 deficit. They win the game, and Fields throws a pick in the second half, a third, fourth quarter, and then they couldn't do it. So that's a scary one for me. I think the Giants would be the safer play if I had the Giants. I can't imagine that Nick Foles, as bad as he looked on Monday night, is going to be able to handle the Don Martindale blitzes, and I think it'll be a close game. But I just think the Giants are the better team playing at a higher level.
Some intrepid reporting from Mitch Moss. Follow the money with one Mad Dog. If you'd like to hear that conversation, Mike Palm, you can go to vsin.com. The 3 that are left in Survivor, do you know any of the contestants?
I do not. You know, there's a lot of corporations here, right? I mean, from my understanding, there's one gentleman that owns 100% of his ticket. And then the other 2 might be an amalgamation of people, whether it's 2 people, 3 people, 6 people, which, you know, that happens in Survivor. You get different groups of people together. I know Amal's had partners through the years, and because they asked him, not because he asked them. But so I don't know. One has a proxy, so is out of state. The other 2 entries do not have proxies, so at least some part of their group lives in Nevada that can put the picks in here. I think all 3 of them will be here this weekend for, as they say, hedging opportunities on these games.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And so, I mean, that's really the poor guy that got, you know, that got eliminated by the Raiders that in that game didn't have an opportunity to hedge, right, Mike? Is that what happened?
Well, you know, for that gentleman who's also in Texas, you know, and it was a short window because, remember, they backed up the Titans an hour. So on Christmas Eve, he had about 2.5 hours. He's either going to win $6.1 million or be one of 4 people moving forward. I said this at the time. I texted Mitch and Paul. I texted with others. If it was me and I had the ability to get down whatever I could get down and I had the money, I would have bet $2.1 million on the Steelers at minus 140 to win 1.5. And then if the Steelers win, you win 1.5 and you're still one of 4. If the Steelers lose, you win 6.1, you lose 2.1, you walk home with $4 million profit. But, he had the interview with Mitch. I don't think he did any of that. He said he probably could have got $500,000 together to try to get it down with the bookmakers where he is or offshore, whatever. But I don't think he did anything like that. You never find yourself in a position like that again where everybody else goes out with one team. So it's very clear the math.
Yeah.
The brilliance of these contests is the branding from Circa that crosses state lines. You just mentioned Texas. You're going this. It's I mentioned I listened to a Washington station that Michael's often the sports junkies, often a guest with them. They talk about the Circa contest all the time. It's just, and like you mentioned, it's no hyperbole. So you think Bill AD thought you were using a little hyperbole there, huh? Would you like to expound?
Well, no, he wanted a quote for that, that daily newsletter that everybody becomes a pro so they can get on about the weekend. I mean, he used it like eight times over and over and over again. Again, when I
said, that's a good quote.
It was very, very accurate. Let's talk about the millions for a second, because we really haven't talked about that in like 6 weeks. Now here we're down to 10 picks left, 2 weeks. E-Nut is the leader with 56 points. Second place, a half behind. Third place, a half behind second. Fourth, a half behind third. It's amazing. The difference between first and 10th is only 3.5 points with 2 weeks to go. And this E-Nut finished second on his own in the second quarter, I believe. So he already picked up $60,000 for his second quarter, second place. And now he's in a great position here to try to lock up the top spot. 13.5 is your best score so far. With two gentlemen at 13 and then six other entries at 12.5 for the fourth quarter. Five guys at 2 and 13 for the booby prize, six at 2, 12, and 1. And then for the overall booby prize for the season, 53 points leads, but three people behind with 52. So close races going into all of this. And, I mean, you look at the records for a whole year to go, 55, 23, and 2. Just amazing. Everybody in the top 10, amazing records. And to have these quarterly runs where guys are going 18 and 2, 17, 2, and 1. Congratulations. But, you get over 4,000 people, sort of the law of big numbers.
It's amazing, Mike. It's so hard that when you look at these things, and I typically only do three games that I recommend. It's those, as Matt Humans always talks about on Saturday morning, this is my fourth and my fifth pick, and it's hard. And some of the breaks that you don't get, you think you're going to cover. I mean, like that, take that Eagle game. If you took the Eagles last week, 3rd and 39, you're going to get the ball back. You're probably going to score. You're covering that game. They convert a 3rd and 39. Whoever had Dallas wins. I mean, it's so close to me, and it's so hard to figure out that, it's a challenge. And this week, the last 10 games to figure out are going to be even harder because you have to eliminate some games because you just don't know if the teams are motivated to play them.
Yeah, meanwhile, 3rd and 39, and you have to fumble. I mean, if you don't fumble and you just don't move the ball, Dallas kneels down and you still cover. I mean, so to not cover the number was brutal. I thought Minshew played well enough to win.
He did. I thought he did too. I thought it was the right play, but but how many times you keep saying that? It's hard. You keep saying, well, it's the right play, but you lost. I mean, how many right plays that you lose you're going to have? That's the hard thing.
I think about how hard Maddie's contest is, the Circa Invitational on Friday nights. And I think we're down to 8 now, and me and Maddie, I mean, I think it depends on, because some of them
who got eliminated this week, Mike?
Mark Lawrence got eliminated this past week.
Okay.
There's still a couple plays on. You can use bowl games anywhere from Saturday to Thursday, so there's still a couple picks out. Chris Felik is in the lead, Doug Kazarian second. I believe I'm tied for third, but I could be fourth. Someone could leapfrog me. It's hard, five picks a week, and think we had college. So really, I was only using three pros or two pros and mixing them up to do five pros. Really tough.
It really is.
Best thing about these contests forces Mike Palm to say something like, E-Nut is in first place. And by the way, if you'd like to learn more about the Tennessee Valley Authority, Michael, as you know, the David McCullough biography on Harry Truman explains plenty about that.
Wonderful.
The Tennessee Valley Authority was very shady back in the day, but I digress.
Thomas Gable had a great text to me. He said, who could think that a power company was going to play a major role in the Survivor this year?
As it did.
That's true.
It's lit. When we come back, of course, Mike Palm and Palm's Pressing 3. We wait for it every week. That's next.
You're listening listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, BetMGM is the king of sports books, and they unleash the spirit of Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. So every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM reward points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. Also, if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can convert your BetMGM points into reward points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms. It's the greatest loyalty program in the game, I tell you every day. 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue, 21 years or older. Okay, Palms Pressing 3 coming up here on the Lombardi Line. Michael Lombardi, I'm Patrick Maher. Mike Palm, of course, joins us. 75 today for Ted Danson. Were you a Cheers fan, Mike Palm?
Huge Cheers fan. Shelley Long... much, much, much better than the late lamented Kirstie Alley. That debate, Paulie Howard tells me the other way. We had that debate on Twitter. It was like 77-23, the poll. And, you know, Nicholas Colasanto is coach, one of my favorite characters of all time. Nick Colasanto, who directed several episodes of Columbo.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Wow,
you come for the pressing three, you learn much more about old Hollywood.
Mary Tyler Moore would have been 86 today, Patrick. Would have been 86 today. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Shout to MTM.
Yeah. MTM.
Underrated, maybe.
Grant Tinker. You got it.
let's get to it. Palms pressing three. We start with one. Michael Lombardi doesn't know what's coming, so let's go.
Michael, as football fans and bettors, who should we be hoping grabs the last available playoff spots in each conference? Is there a potential 6 or 7 seed that can win a road playoff game versus a 2 or 3? Or is there a team that would be complete roadkill that we should hope gets in so that we can bet against them?
Well, I would say in the NFC, I think Detroit poses the most problems because their offense can move the football. And getting beaten by Carolina might have helped them more than hurt them, because they it kind of brought them down to earth. And they don't believe they're the greatest team of all time. And that offense can generate a lot of points and can keep up. Now, I don't think they can win, because let's face it, playoff games are always determined by who can execute on defense, who plays great in the red zone, who converts third and short. So I would say Detroit is a team that I don't think would be an easy out. I think they would lose, but it's not an easy out. In the AFC, I think it has to be Miami, assuming that they have all their players back, because that offense can score points. It is explosive, and it can stay paced. The problem is their defense isn't good. So I've given you two teams that are high offense, bad defense, and that formula doesn't typically work come playoff time. But there is no other choices. I mean, Washington, as good as they play defensively, they have some limitations. The Giants don't really play good defense. They kind of manage the game with their offense. So the NFC, to me, I don't see a really good team over there. The AFC, you know, to me, there's really not. New England's defense is good, but when they go against a good passer like Burrow, they really struggle. So to me, I went the other way.
Okay. We're mixing it up for number two on Palms Pressing 3. Number two, I'm looking forward to this. Just go ahead and run with it, Mike.
Let me lay the rules down here. We're going to play speed round, Michael. I'm looking for 1 or 2 word answers only. First, Who is the starting quarterback of the Rams next year?
Matthew Stafford.
Where does Tom Brady play next year?
New Orleans.
Is Bill Belichick coaching the Patriots next year?
Yes.
Where is Sean Payton coaching next year?
New Orleans.
Where is Derek Carr playing next year?
Washington.
Okay, let's go back and recap these. Let's have a little fun with this. Good job, Mike Palm. What stood out to you as the most surprising answer of the five you threw at Michael?
Well, the Brady answer makes sense with Peyton, because, I mean, they're tied together, right, if they're both going to end up in New Orleans. I don't know if I know the Raiders are going to cut Carr, right? They have 3 days after the Super Bowl with the contract, so that'll be, I don't know.
Well, I think what'll happen with Carr is, mm-hmm. if he wants to go somewhere and someone's interested, and, you know, he's going to have to get worked out a contract, and then it doesn't really behoove Carr to help the Raiders get a compensation, but it does behoove the team to have to avoid free agency, and he wants to go. He'd have to waive his no-trade clause. So, and, you know, I think that'll happen in February at the Combine. I think you'll see a lot of that activity going on there. You know, as for Brady, the quarterback, I think obviously I wrote this in VSiN, I don't think he's back at Tampa. Now, whether he plays or not, I think New Orleans would be in play. I think there'll be a lot of teams in play. I think there'll be a lot of teams in play because Brady is the perfect bridge. You know he's probably a one-year player. You bring him in, you still have to get a quarterback, but you can be competitive with him there. And it allows you to contour. But I don't think Brady's going anywhere unless he really knows what the offense is and who's calling the plays and running the offense. So that limits the candidates down fairly slow. Would it be the Raiders? Could be. I mean, Josh McDaniels are very close. For all the people that hate Josh McDaniels, they should talk to Brady. You know, and so, you know, would that be Sean Payton? Yeah, I think there's mutual respect there. Would he go and show up at San Francisco because they want to bridge a guy for, they don't want to bring Garoppolo? Maybe. You know, would he go to Arizona? No.
Just a quick follow-up. Do you think Sean Payton has contacted Dennis Allen just to let him know that he's coming, taking his job back? Do you think he's let him know that yet,
Michael? Well, I think what people don't follow through with this, right? So, like, Sean Payton isn't a free agent. You have to go through New Orleans to get his rights. And maybe with a year off, he's decided to go back there. He's looked over the landscape. He knows Mickey. He knows Mickey Loomis. He knows Jeff Ireland. He's comfortable. Maybe he goes back. And I'm sure Dennis Allen probably will say, hey, look, George Halas did it all the time, Patrick. He would go up to the, you know, he owned the team. He would coach for a couple of years. Okay, no, I'm done. I'm going to let you have these three losing seasons here. I'm coming back. Once you get the team turnaround, I'll be back.
It's like when Krzyzewski pinned the 16 losses
that's
on
right.
Pete Godet.
That's exactly right. Yes.
Yeah.
Didn't take those losses on his own record.
No, that's the only school that's ever done that. It's incredible.
That's classic Coach K. Yeah. All right. Love the speed round. Yeah. Let's continue. Number three, palms pressing three.
Michael, if we rewind back to last season's draft, we had people like Lewis Riddick, among others, shouting from the rooftops that Malik Willis was underdrafted. Should have been the first quarterback taken, even hinted at agendas outside of football for the reason he got picked where he was picked. At this point, does Willis even resemble someone who should or will ever play NFL quarterback again? They're not even starting in tonight in an exhibition game. And do we ever go back and evaluate the evaluators who had high draft grades on a total flop like Willis or others? As a general manager, would you put a star next to any evaluator's name who rated someone like Willis that highly to make sure you disregard their future opinions?
I would definitely do it. I evaluate the evaluator. When you're wrong that bad, and Riddick has been wrong on quarterbacks before. So, you know, he's been, you know, Jared Goff was the greatest quarterback ever to play. Remember that? Now, he's played a little bit better now, but still, I'm not sure you can win everything there. And so, Willis, when you miss like this, how would you even send him back on the road? That's the problem with personnel. There's too many guys giving opinions, and you're getting wrong opinions. You have too many people involved in the process. Too many people don't know what a quarterback looks like. Anybody who's going to tell you that Malik Willis is going to be should have been the first pick of the draft doesn't know anything about football. Just like people telling me that Justin Fields is going to lead his team and be the MVP. Justin Fields is a running back playing quarterback. Can they run the six-back offense around him? Maybe. Maybe. But when he has to throw the ball like he did against Detroit in the fourth quarter, it's not pretty, like he's done a lot of the teams. But this isn't about any agenda other than what we're seeing on the field. There really isn't any other agenda other than what we see. But when you make that many mistakes and the network still puts you on, they must think we have amnesia.
Well put. Palms pressing three, a hit yet again.
Patrick, can I follow up the question real quick? You know, you talked about Detroit. If Detroit is a 7 and Minnesota's the 2, and that's the wild card matchup, what's the number on that game? Remember, Detroit, a 2.5-point favorite at home against Minnesota.
Right, and when they went up there, they won 28-24, and Campbell messed that game up the last time they played. Now, when they came back to Detroit, that kind of game got a little – that score is not indicative of really what that game was. I would say Minnesota's an under field goal favorite there. I think that would be a hell of a game. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be entertaining, right? See, here's the thing about the NFC is, like, Minnesota's making the play. Their defense isn't good either. Like, where are the good defenses? You know, we think Dallas is a good defense. They gave up 400. Gardner Minshew carved them up.
Opening Sunday night, Dallas couldn't move the ball at all against Tampa. Remember that, and that's your likely 5-4 matchup.
That's right.
13.5
That's right.
13.5 with Dallas, Tennessee, and its total is 40. Are they betting it there at Circa?
Oh yeah, they're betting Tennessee. They're gobbling up 13 and 13.5. So that's the big decision for us. No action on the total.
Do you think Michael? Somebody will tease it up from 13 to almost 20? That's the only chance you would get.
We had a big first leg of a teaser, 20.5. Yes, sir, plus 20.5.
Michael, just to restate, you like 3 first quarter with Dallas. Lay it.
Yeah, that would be the only thing I would recommend.
Okay. Mike Palm, great job. And good luck with the family.
Awesome job,
home
Mike.
Safely. Thank
thanks.
You.
Good
thanks
luck getting your family back.
Thanks for 2022, gentlemen.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you.
You as well. We appreciate having you. Michael, enjoy the game tonight. I'll see you tomorrow morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Patrick.
Big Bets
Thank
is
you,
coming
Elliot.
Up next here on VSiN. Good job, Elliot.